Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A federal court of appeals has now ruled that Tennessee can enforce its ban on selective abortions. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, this is a good decision, Holly. It comes out of the federal court of appeals that's headquartered in Cincinnati, Ohio, but it governs several states. And in this particular situation, Tennessee is included. Tennessee now, according to the court, can move forward with enforcing its law that bans abortions that are based upon a decision to abort because the child supposedly has Down syndrome or because of its race or sex. And this is a great decision. It was signed into law earlier this year by Governor Bill Lee. It's a broad pro-life law to protect unborn babies from abortions once their heartbeats are detectable, which is usually within 6 weeks. It also includes other levels of restrictions, going up from 8 weeks to 24 weeks of pregnancy, which would go into effect depending on what a court may or may not strike down. And it also bans discriminatory abortions based on the unborn baby's sex, race, or Down syndrome diagnosis, and includes also informed consent measures.
You know, and this original bill is fabulous. I mean, I commend this Governor Lee. I mean, there should not be any reason for abortion, period. And he is obviously working toward that with this bill. But barely the ink was dry when he signed the bill, and you've got activists going to court to block this law. And that's what happened in this case.
Yeah, the lawsuit was filed by the American Civil Liberties Union along with the so-called Center for Reproductive Rights, Planned Parenthood Federation of America, and others, the usual suspects in these pro-abortion litigation cases.
Of whom profit off of abortion.
Especially Planned Parenthood profits and these other abortion clinics. I mean, that's what they make their living off of, is their primary income is killing babies.
Yeah, it's nothing about women's rights. That needs to be clear. It's about a business. They're making huge amount of dollars off of killing babies.
Yeah, you think about that for a minute. They're making money killing innocent children.
Right.
And they're not humane. I mean, it's not justifiable, even if it was humane, but it's not humane. These children, at no matter what gestational age, are literally ripped apart, limb by limb.
But they try to package it like it's women's rights or reproductive rights or whatever euphemism you can use. But I'm sorry, it's murdering children. It's human genocide for profit.
ACLU, Planned Parenthood, said, well, they need this relief from the court because otherwise they're going to suffer, quote, irreparable harm.
That means they're going to lose money.
Yeah, and you know, what about the irreparable harm? I mean, once the life is torn apart and killed, you can't reconstruct that.
Right.
And so many, 60 plus million children have been brutally killed since 1973.
Not to mention the mothers and fathers of these who face that kind of distress and grief for the rest of their lives.
You know, there was some friends that go to a abortion clinic on a regular basis to give counseling and provide alternatives, and recently shared a story about how the father of one of the babies that was being aborted came to these people weeping and crying that his baby was inside that abortion clinic and he couldn't stop it and it was being killed, and he was completely distraught. So we oftentimes forget about the fathers.
Absolutely. It's tragic for them, too.
It's tragic for everybody. It kills a human life, innocent, brutal destruction of a human life. It damages, it hurts the woman who's made in the image of God and is blessed with the amazing ability to carry a human life and birth that human life. It ultimately destroys the father as well. And what about all the other consequences with the grandparents, the sisters, the brothers that the generations that are lost because of abortion.
And these abortion activists, you know, push this mantra on these women. Most abortions occur because of they're not, quote unquote, convenient for the situation, or they're not financially able. Well, that mantra is being pushed by these abortion activists who want to make money. They want to push these women in and out of these abortion clinics so they make more money.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, this particular bill that is a fairly comprehensive bill, it also requires abortion facilities to inform women about the abortion pill reversal procedure, if they have that, in terms of how they can reverse that,
right,
and change their mind so it's not too late.
It would require them to see the baby on an ultrasound.
Yep, the gestational size of the baby.
The majority of women that see their baby on ultrasound understand that they
exactly
have a baby
in them. That's not what I was
told. It's not
told.
A little blob or something. It's a baby.
And, you know, that's what happened to me. I was a pastor in 1983. I had already graduated from seminary. I was pastoring a church. Knew a lot about the scriptures, the Bible, having studied it, languages, so forth. But I didn't know about this issue other than what I had read in the media. That was the first mistake. I hadn't taken the time to independently investigate it. And thank God there was a Roman Catholic and a Protestant in Kentucky, and they got together and they said, we want to educate pastors. Mm. And a new documentary came out called Assignment Life. And we were the very first group that they approached to show this movie to, this documentary. And so I was part of a ministerial meeting of non-denominational, cross-denominational ministers that met every month for lunch. And some of those pastors had been approached and they asked me to attend. And sure, I attended because I was asked by one of my pastoral friends. I didn't know what I was about ready to see. And this documentary went through this whole history of abortion at the Supreme Court and the fetal models. We didn't have the ultrasound back then, but we had the fetal models. But then we also had the historic Life magazine photos that are all the way back to 1965. I have two of those original magazines. I'm very fortunate to have those. They were historic, with the baby in the womb on the very front cover. And they begin from conception all the way up to, I believe, 24 weeks in the photographs. Some of those were taken in utero with flash photography. And so you saw what it looked like inside the womb. It was amazing. And then you saw, oh my gosh, they had a first trimester abortion. And when they do that, they have to reassemble the body parts from, you know, looking at it to see, did they get everything so that nothing's left inside that would cause infection? And at that point in time, it was just like a gut punch.
When you saw that movie, your life was changed.
Yeah, my life was changed. And I thought, where have I been all this time? And that ultimately catapulted me from where I was into getting involved in the pro-life movement and eventually into law school to ultimately address these issues. So, you know, when, like you said, Holly, when a woman sees this ultrasound, now we've got even very clear 4D ultrasounds.
Right, that's our first baby pictures. They're an ultrasound.
Unbelievable, yeah, that, you know, young people today have their first baby picture in the womb.
Right.
But it's incredible.
But, you know, it requires each of us as followers of Christ to ask God, you know, what is my role in this? Is it helping to give to an organization like Liberty Counsel who defends the sanctity of life, praying for overturning of Roe versus Wade, speaking out in their community? Whatever God has called you to do, we have to stand up because it's up to us as the church to protect life. Because you see, this is a spiritual battle.
It is a spiritual battle because this is a direct attack on God, who is the creator, the author of human life. And if you look at Jesus, he was someone who spoke a lot about children. And the children were attracted to him. And when even the adults, even some of the disciples, wanted to rebuke some of the adults for bringing their children to him, he rebuked them. And he said, you know, it's going to be better that you have a millstone tied around your neck and somebody throws you into the depths of the ocean and you drown, than for you to make one of these children who believe in me to stumble.
And each of us as Christians are accountable. Can you imagine one day we get to heaven and those children,
yeah,
that were not allowed to breathe life ask, why didn't you save me?
Exactly. So we can't just simply put our head in the sand, especially now. We have, back then, you know, when I learned about this, we didn't have internet. Now we do. It's easy to find the information. You can, by the way, go to our website and you can find the information, lc.org, and you can go to the abortion section, lc.org, and the abortion section is right there on the front page. You'll find it, and it has all the information you need. Send someone there with the photos of all the different aspects of the child in the womb. And stand for life. Stand with us as we continue to stand for life. LC.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.